Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
In Alaska, the issue of domestic violence goes far beyond football and celebrities. This year, it has become a campaign issue. What can candidates do about a scourge that has affected virtually every community in America's largest state?
I know firsthand how committed Dan Sullivan is to protecting Alaskan women from domestic violence because I worked with him to do it. Now Mark Begich is shamefully and falsely attacking our work to try and hurt Dan. That's stooping pretty low, even for Mark Begich.
Republican Senate candidate Dan Sullivan is facing Democrat incumbent Mark Begich. With the Senate at stake in Washington, D.C., how the issue of domestic violence plays out in Alaska's debates, town hall meetings, and during luncheons may have national implications. Candidate Begich tells a story to his supporters of how one time a woman fleeing an abusive boyfriend showed up on his doorstep begging for help. Alaska has the country's highest rates of sexual assault, with a rape rate that is almost three times the national average. And Sarah Bernard, freelance writer and radio reporter, says Alaska's frontier culture, its isolated communities, and under-resourced law enforcement are a deadly combination.
There are 165 Alaskan villages off the road system, accessible only by plane or boat. Really limited law enforcement. Around 75 villages have no law enforcement at all. And so people are really, they're living very closely with one another. They're really relying on one another for survival. They're really relying on one another for support. And so it sort of perpetuates a culture of accepting this kind of violence as common, as okay.
Have you encountered a story of someone who came forward and really got punished in the far north by the community for being candid and open about something that was, you know, really putting them in harm?
Yeah, anecdotally, that experience is very common. For example, one story I was told was of a woman who was from a small village and whose husband had brutally beat her for many, many years. And when she finally sort of decided to get out of that situation and bring her children with her, and the community ostracized her completely, and she wasn't allowed to return. You know, victims are blamed for some of this and blamed for sort of shaking up the community, for breaking up the community, and it can mean for people living in rural communities, I guess I'm choosing to leave everything and everyone I know. So at the very least, there's often a lot of tension around these issues.
Here's a victim telling another one of these very, very upsetting stories about being trapped.
I was in a relationship in my 20s with a man that beat me every day for 4 years, sober or drunk. Just lie to the doctor and tell them that you slammed your hand in the car. And the doctor said, that's a clean break. Somebody had to just snap it. You fight as hard as you can to get away from something like that. But the man was never arrested.
Now, that woman sounds there like she might be associated with one of the Native American nations in Alaska.
She's a member of a small community, and she's kind of come a long way in terms of being able to talk about the things that happened to her, which is really encouraging. But she remembered from her childhood seeing a woman sort of walk down the street with two black eyes. It wasn't just one woman, she said. It was the wife of every man, almost.
If someone in one of these isolated communities calls the police, what are the challenges for law enforcement to even answer the call? And what would be needed to actually make it easier for law enforcement?
A lot of villages, there's either no local law enforcement presence at all and or a village public safety officer who is their first responder on the ground, but may or may not be carrying firearms, may or may not be adequately trained. So there's that. If somebody calls, usually that means that person is going to be calling a state trooper. So there'll be maybe 30 troopers who are covering an area four-fifths the size of Texas. In that way, it's really challenging for victims of violence to feel like there is a service in place to protect them.
How does the state treat this? I mean, you know, with the idea of that 59% of Alaskan women have been victims of sexual assault, and that's possibly a conservative number, sexual assault, intimate partner violence, or, you know, both of those.
Yeah, and I think the state of Alaska is doing a lot. Alaska Men Choose Respect is a statewide initiative that Governor Parnell launched in 2009. it's just so challenging. It's going to take a while. As everybody I spoke to said, these numbers are going to go up before they go down. But it does seem like it will shift little by little.
Well, Sarah Bernard, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sarah Bernard is a freelance writer and radio reporter. We spoke to her from Seattle.